When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From Bonnet.
By the way, I've been meaning to talk to you about the music on the show. It's horrible, and it goes on forever. Do you think we could go back to using good music and, like, just see if we get sued? No.
You'd have to talk to Giancarlo about that, because Giancarlo is the one who
really awful.
Made us change.
It's horrible.
I think it's good. No. What do you mean it's too long?
Oh God.
I cut the end.
No, it's
the
like
beginning.
No, it's like a minute and it's so bad.
You know what?
It's like Bare Naked Ladies.
You know what? I get a lot of comments on the music, but it's good.
It sounds like you're on hold with my bank.
Is this the last week? To the Jillian Michaels show.
Word. I think it went on just a little too long.
Horrible.
Okay, how much time do you want? Just
less.
One little stanza?
Oh, listen how bad this one is.
That?
It's like Three's Company. Bop, ba-dooby. Here's John Ritter, a bop, shaboobie.
Oh my God.
And there's Chrissy. Here we go, Mr. Roper. This is the worst of music ever. Oh my God, it's still going. Someone kill me. Still playing. We're 30 seconds in.
Oh, you know what? You guys have no feel
like,
for
let's
things.
Let's do something like this.
Don't forget, people are listening while they're working out sometimes.
Yeah. Doesn't this make you want to listen? You're wrong. You're wrong. No, you're wrong.
Okay, well, then you have to take it up with G.
This is Eric Prince. Yeah, but when you listen to country music, you have no taste.
Fine. I'm happy to put that in.
Here comes.
Oh, my God. Oh, look how long this is. And you're telling me mine's too long?
No, you just sample it. Oh, you could build up slow with this. Like, get ready. Get excited. Slow build. Huh? Yeah. And then I could say, coming up in the first 5 minutes of the show,
a
sex,
song.
Magic weight loss cures,
things that make you horny.
Things that make you horny. Then
masturbation.
All
wow.
That. Yeah, listen to that.
Penises.
Listen to how inspiring this is when you hear that stuff.
My balls.
Balls.
And now,
the Jillian Michaels show. Yeah!
No.
I want to call someone.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, damn it.
You're listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
Word! Janice won't let me do.
Wait, why won't I let you do?
Well, now when I was trying to be exciting and say stuff like, 10 ways to have the best orgasm of your life coming up in the next top 5 minutes of the show, you were like, no, it's too jarring. And so now
I didn't say it was
and
too
so now
jarring.
We're going to bore you again with personal anecdotes. That's okay, because plenty of good stuff will be coming up. about that stuff.
Well, we'll get there.
And now Jake's going to ramble on.
Well, we're going to get to the 10 orgasms.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
In 5 minutes
show.
From now.
Oh, in 5 minutes?
Five?
Okay.
All right.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
You better be interesting.
Okay. Well, I think I have a pretty relatable, I guess, dilemma.
Okay.
And decision to make, a big life decision.
Okay. I hope you guys can relate to this.
So I never went away to college, and I've lived in Los Angeles for my whole life, 25 years.
Gotcha.
I'm starting to get tired of LA.
Yeah, I know.
And
we take it for granted here.
Beyond tired of living with my father and stepmom.
Yeah.
So getting out, do I want to sign myself into a rent agreement for another year in Los Angeles? Is that something I want to do?
When
I have my best buddy, Mike, he's saying, hey, I'm willing to do a year wherever you want. You pick a spot in the country, throw a dart at the map wherever you want. I could do my job there. Anywhere that you can do yours, let's go. And we both kind of decided that the Pacific Northwest would be an interesting place for both of us.
Okay.
Mainly because we've been looking at, houses to rent. And for the same price that we would have to pay for here in Los Angeles,
yeah,
we can get a house, not an apartment, with a huge yard and a lot of room to do all the physical things that we want to do.
Yeah, but don't you make less money in these parts of the world?
Possibly.
But compared to the price of living, it's comparable.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
But is it comparable?
It's...
Comparable.
Yes, because L.A. is absurdly expensive. I was doing my...
But you make more money here, don't you?
Kind of.
To pay for how
Pacific
absurdly
Northwest.
Expensive it is.
I finally did my budgeting.
Okay.
I spend 90% of my money going out, eating, drinking... stupid things.
Okay.
But I want to know, and it doesn't have to be there. It could be anywhere. But what do you think of the idea? I would be leaving the relationship I'm in because she wouldn't be coming with.
Okay.
And I would be doing something that's scary to me. But I feel like I need to do it for myself to be more well-rounded and feel more confident that I could conquer something hard and scary.
I think that you would regret it if you didn't.
And that's the biggest thing because...
Oh, it's raising its...
I put my finger up.
She's going, yes, brother.
I am a firm believer you have to get away from your parents. You have to get away from everything you grew up with and everything you know that's comfortable to you. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to do something that scares you where you don't know where your next anything is coming from.
Exactly. And the point of regretting it, a lot of people can live with that kind of stuff. I have the hardest time when I think of something I want to do. If I don't do it, it bothers the shit out of me.
I look at my kids, right? They fall down, they get back up. Very rarely. My son literally yesterday picked up a 55-pound dumbbell when I wasn't looking with horrendous form. I was like, oh, my God. His back was, bent over, and he was at the gym. I was like, no. And, he was fine. Got up and walked away, and I was like, Jesus. Okay, so he lifted his own body weight with more than his body weight with horrible form. I thought if most people did that, they would just shred their entire spine, right? They would just pull things in that's young. They're like rubber. Bounce, 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 bounce. And metaphorically speaking, in your 20s, in particular your early 20s, you're kind of like Teflon. You can fall and fail and you just bounce back. There's no consequences. You're not tanking a company where you employ 15 people. Most likely. You're not, you don't have a spouse and young children that you're trying to feed. You don't have aging parents that you're supporting financially. And so you have the ability to try and fail and be unencumbered and untethered. And it's a very finite period of your life where you will have that. Very finite. And you take advantage of it. And I didn't. I really did not. And it's because I was no, I have to make money. And I tried. I was going to go to New York and I was leaving and this guy got shot at this nightclub I was going to go bartend at and it didn't make it out. And then I was going to go to San Francisco and the apartment fell through and I just never made it out. And honestly, then I met someone when I was 22 and I didn't get out there. And then by the time I was 24, I was working in the entertainment industry and I was I need to be here. There's no time. This is where I'm building my career. And I missed the window. And that's where it's kind of I just think there's that time in your life. And you know what's weird? I look at my life now
And it really is. I mean, it's tough. You just can't do. As you age, 40 is the worst. In fact, I've decided I hate every 40-year-old person I know. And people don't know how to do 40 anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I find that my friends are like much older, in their 50s. Mm-hmm. Like you or my friend Cindy or my friend Lori, or they're much younger, in their 20s.
Yeah.
And all my 40-year-old friends are so miserable in their lives and so caught up with their misery and their drama and their family stuff and their kid who's doing drugs and their, you know, issues with their spouse and their, you know, this and that. All of them, every single one, except honest to God, one and her husband, just one and her husband, have it together 100%. G, same thing. He's my age. No real issues there. Chloe's pretty good. But other than that, like, it's crazy the issues they have. And they've lost their ability to even have fun, to even live a life. I don't even know. I never even hear from them anymore. Because every day I would be like, hey, how are you in the issue with this? How are you in the guy? How are you in the fertility thing? And I just found that every day it'd be me checking in on another friend and their personal tragedy. How's your mom? Is she doing okay? You know. And yeah. Finally I was like, I'm done with this. No one's checked in with me to say like, dude, how are you? And, you know, this and that and the other. How what happened with you here? And I just find that, honey, like, as life goes on, people, they get stiff and like, they're not malleable and they stop having fun and they don't take risks and then they get angry. And you're at this place right now. Like, if there's a time to do it, this is it.
I see some of my friends that have quote unquote adult jobs that are becoming stiff, that are losing their usefulness. And I'm not
talking about running around being a kid. It's a state of mind.
Yeah. It's not.
It's a state of mind. And then they become judgmental.
Absolutely.
Right. Because they're angry.
I feel so judged by some of my friends.
Yep. That's right. It does not get better.
But it makes me feel bad for recognizing that I see how the future goes with the older you get. And I know that one day I will be stuck with more responsibility. And I rather, you know, I'm not
and
throwing
that's inevitable.
Caution to the wind here.
That is inevitable, because it's like, in order to have attachments, you're attached, right? So yeah. As we get older, it's like, well, if you want to have kids, you are grounded to a certain degree. You can't really just up and pull them out of school. I mean, you can, but it's probably not the best thing for them.
Right.
And, you know, there are times where you got to be like, okay, you know, it's like you can do these things. But if you have kids, there are major sacrifices involved that counteract having that intense attachment with another little human. It is what it is. It's the price you pay for having kids. And they're the greatest little loves of your life. You're going to have moments where you're like, God damn it. I like literally sometimes I take Phoenix. I mean, and Lou, but like they're both such different kids. Like I enjoy them differently. And there are moments with Phoenix where I want to just throw him out the window. And there are moments where I'm like, I just want to eat his face. You know, I love him so much. But that like there is no, I'm just going to cut all ties. You can't do that anymore. And then I think that as they get older and they start to sacrifice too much, then they get angry and resentful, and the day never came where they threw the dart at the board.
And honestly, I think this is such a pivotal point in your life that you need to figure out who you are. And how can you do that if there's someone reminding you of who you were? And you need to be able to grow with no one who knows who you are.
That's a Nicole thing.
Say that again. I like that.
You need to figure out who you are, and how can you do that if you're surrounded by people who keep trying to remind you of who you were? On a different note, I sent you a link to where you have a cost of living calculator. You calculate the where you're moving from to where you want to move to and the amount that you have. And
oh,
it's gonna
what's
tell
that,
you.
Nicole?
Oh, it's something I even learned way back in high school before you make any kind of move. Say you've got a job that's $100,000 and then you want to relocate to, say, Montana, and they're offering you $35,000.
Yeah.
You put this in this what's it called? The money market rates for today.
Yes.
And you can see whether or not that's going to be comparable to like that $50,000, that your $35,000, is that in Montana, is that comparable to what I'm making here in LA? You're being an asshole and very disrespectful.
Seattle's very expensive. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. There's some smaller communities in Washington State, but I'm telling you.
We were looking at Vancouver.
That is you can't afford Vancouver.
Vancouver, Washington.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Vancouver, B.C.
Yeah. I know. It's like, that's not in the United States.
And that's not cheap.
No, Vancouver, Washington.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no. Nah.
Go there if you want, Jake. Follow your dreams.
Denver. I liked Denver a lot.
Denver's great. And it's actually one of the most hop-in cities right now.
I like Denver, too.
I loved Denver, actually. I thought it was cool. And Seattle, I thought was awesome. And Portland, I hear, is really cool.
I do love Portland. I do love Denver. I hear Austin was getting a little bit too big.
Oh, I've heard people love Austin.
That's why it's getting too big. Is people are moving from here to Austin.
Yeah, I don't know, but anyway.
Sandra Bullock has a place there. Just saying.
I've got some friends there if you need a place to couch
surf
for a bit.
I'm just saying. Sandy Bullock. I'm sorry. I call her Sandy because she's my friend. Now, you had a good saying. Here's my new saying that I just learned from my therapist the other day.
Oh, you're going to therapy? Good for you.
Oh, God, honey, I've been going to therapy my whole life.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't get better.
No, but here it is, Jake, because I am much older than you. And she said something that I have more behind me than I do ahead of me.
Oh, that's terrifying.
That's dark.
No, it's not. Actually, it's not dark. It's reality. Like, the age I'm at, I have more life behind me than I do ahead.
What's the point of that, though?
Because I just thought it was really interesting. And I think we should all just think about that for a second.
I don't like that at all.
Why? I think it's fascinating.
I don't get it.
I am on the back 40.
Okay, but what? And
it just means that when
you're dying,
you're at a
crossroad.
Jake's at a, we come to these kind of crossroads.
Oh, so you're
going to
make a decision because of that, is what you're saying?
Decisions or whatever changes.
I don't see
like
you making
a change. Like he wants to make a change.
But are you making a change?
He's got more
ahead
of him.
Are you making a change?
Maybe.
What is it?
I don't know yet.
We want to hear it.
You're not making a change.
No.
See, I knew it.
I want to tell you the phrase that I learned that's really helped
Apparently
me through
Apparently,
you're
everything. Dying, so maybe you should make a change.
I'm not dying.
You don't have a lot longer left, so maybe you should make a change. Clearly. What are you going to do?
I don't
out the post office lady.
No, I saw her. She walked right in front of the... Our studio is like this. It's right on the ground floor. Great big window. She was right there. She thinks that her shit doesn't stink.
Well,
and I don't like that.
I agree. I think you should just stand in the window with a sign that says, your shit does stink. Na 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 na.
But written on your naked body just in case.
On my naked
body. Yeah.
Just in case.
And FYI, I have more life behind me.
And then I had a...
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype, from the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science, science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
No manis.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've noticed? Do you know how many people have like the exact same physical issues? Whether it's like knee pain, or it's like, but it's all lower back pain.
Yeah.
But it's all related often, not always, but often to the same issues. And it has to do with imbalances in your hips, like iliotibial band syndrome, right? Which is knee pain in the side of the knee, or you can get patella pain, like in the front underneath on your knee, or low back pain, which is often because your hip flexors and your psoas muscles are really tight and they wrap around your lower back. And so they're creating, like, whenever I walk around, and you notice you get what's called an anterior pelvic tilt. So from sitting all day long, right? It's like your tailbone sticks out and you get this slight arch.
Yes, we've talked about the hip tilt.
And you get the the shortening of the hip flexors, or they get tight. And they're not getting mobilized or stretched properly, as your hip flexors. And then it starts pulling on your low back and you get tight hamstrings. But think about this. Stand up with your feet hip width apart, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, you're standing up with your feet hip width apart. All right, now, literally do a pelvic tilt where you lift your tailbone up behind you. Mm-hmm. Okay, immediately think what's happening. You're stretching your hamstrings, right? Because you're lifting your bum up and back. So the hamstrings are getting stretched. That doesn't mean they're strong. And it actually doesn't mean they're tight. It means they're being overly stretched. Does that make sense?
Your hamstrings.
Well, think about it. Look at my body position. So here I am here, right, with my bum up in the air and an arch on my low back. But then the minute I tuck my tailbone and I put my pelvis and my hips into a neutral position, right, then the hamstring goes from being stretched up and back to down and in a neutral position. So we get what we think are tight hamstrings, but they're not actually tight. They're stretched too far.
Yeah.
And then when your hips are rotated forward like this, we get a shortening here. So if your bum is up in the back and you get that arch in your back, your psoas wraps around the front and into your low back, and it starts to pull on your low back. So if you tuck your tailbone, pull your belly button into your spine and keep your spine neutral, it helps with pain in your low back. And it helps with IT band syndrome.
So we're misdiagnosing ourselves.
Well, no, not necessarily, but so many problems are related to that. Yeah. And it's Yeah. It's an easy, it's a simple fix.
Yeah.
Although not necessarily easy because you've got to be really diligent with it. So it, you can't just stretch your hip flexors and your psoas because you have to also strengthen your medial glutes. So there are some really simple exercises that you can do, whether it's getting in plank and doing extension, which means like, okay, you're in plank, legs are straight, core's engaged, pelvis is rotated, right? Tailbone's tucked, belly button's pulled in, and you're lifting one leg at a time straight up without opening the hips. So that's another mistake
like
we make.
In a plank.
So, okay, have you ever noticed like when you're in a plank, if you go to row or lift a leg, you open your hips up. You don't keep them square to the ground. It could be on hands and feet. Right. But see, okay, now lift and don't open your hips. Right. So most people open the hips and they rotate.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So the hip bone turns diagonally, right? Okay, now watch. Get in your feet hip width apart. Now, have you ever, when you lunge, do you ever notice that your knee, your front knee is dropping inward?
Yes.
That's because you're opening your hips.
And you know what I hate about that? That's why I don't do those.
But that's, there's, it's the simplest fix in the world. So watch what's happening. So here I am, my feet are hip width apart, okay? So stand with your feet hip width apart. Now, a lot of times when we either step back or forward into a lunge, if your hip bones are square with the wall in front of you, watch what happens to my hands. Hold your hands straight out towards the wall in front of you at a 90-degree angle shooting out from the hip bone. We step back and we open our hips.
Yeah.
So your hands shift to a diagonal position, right? You're opening your hips. They're not square with the wall. Now watch. When I squat down, my knee goes in. But if you just go a straight extension backwards, the leg goes straight back without opening the hips, the knee goes forward.
Yeah.
So it's actually just a straight extension dropping down, and the knee stays straight. We think we have to push the knee out more, but that's not the problem. But think about why that's happening.
Oh, I see.
So you're opening the hips because you're not engaging your glutes to get that extension, the hip extension. So instead of your leg going straight back, right, and dropping down, we rotate our entire hip to step back.
Yeah.
So many of these problems are being created because we're not engaging our glutes properly and we're too tight in our hip flexors and our psoas. So what we want to do is we want to do like the couch stretch, the psoas stretch. So you can come into a lunge, drop your knee, back knee to the ground, top of the foot on the ground, put something under the knee that's on the ground. Keep your spine straight, right? Lift up and over to stretch out hip flexors and psoas. But when you're doing it, squeeze your butt, engage your glutes, push the hips forward. And then you want to do a pigeon stretch, but wrap a band around the inside of your thigh. Bring your shin. This is why these segments are so hard to do without video.
I'm standing here and I'm like seeing this. I'm like, ooh, it's complicated.
Okay, so a pigeon stretch is literally.
I hate the pigeon.
Single, right? A yoga. It's a yoga stretch. So you take the front leg, take one leg, put it in front of you, and bring your shin so that it's literally parallel to your perpendicular to your body, right? The opposite leg goes straight back behind you. Yes, you would be on the ground. Yeah.
Yes, Nicole.
And then the leg that's bent, you would take like a band.
Nicole's
and you'd wrap
face
it around
is very
your thigh,
close to my crotch.
Business. And then you'd come down and allow that band to pull your hip back into place so it doesn't rotate forward, right? So the whole key is try a star plank. Try a plank with leg extensions without opening up the hips.
Yes.
Right? Try butt walks. Have you ever done butt walks to strengthen your QL? You can hold a barbell overhead. You're sitting with on your bum with your legs out in front of you, and you literally on your bum shimmy forward with your spine straight.
Oh, that sounds tough.
I mean, and you know, we do squats, of course.
Yeah.
Deadlifts, of course. But the best way to do it, quite honestly, are leg extensions and plank, star plank, leg raises, anything that works that medial glute, anything abducting, pulling the leg out and back without opening up the hips, while simultaneously stretching hip flexors and psoas.
Yeah.
And you could also do a camel stretch from yoga where you've got the feet underneath you, right? And you're kneeling on the ground, hands go on the heels, and you literally lift chest up and out, pressing forward into the hips. And you gotta work, I mean, look, you gotta work on it. And when you're walking, be super conscious of squeezing your butt. I always tell, because Lou's got such a bad pelvic tilt, I'm like, baby, act like you gotta poop. She's like, people will make fun of me. I'm like, yeah, but when you're my age, you're going to have back pain. I tell her that she's seven. But honestly, act like you got to poop. Like, squeeze your bum like you got to go to the bathroom. I swear to God, when you're walking. And keep your toes neutral.
Wow.
No? In time, it'll make a big difference. I'm telling you. No?
I can't go my whole life walking like I got to poop.
Try it.
Do you remember when I had really bad lower back pain?
Yes.
You know.
No, that's not like you got to poop. You squeeze your butt cheeks together. You're sticking your butt out like you're going to poop. Like you're about to poop.
If I was gonna crap myself.
You're not gonna crap yourself. You're trying to not crap yourself. Stand up tall.
That's what I'm doing. Trying not to crap myself.
Stand up.
If you said to me right now you're gonna crap yourself, I would do this.
No, you'd squeeze your bum. Squeeze your bummy. Yeah, and now walk like you gotta poop.
All in the name of fitness.
What were you saying, Jake? I'm giving up.
They gave me all hip exercises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hip imbalance. All right, you guys, if you've ever wanted to work out with me and hang out with me, not in Los Angeles, the exciting thing is that I am doing a tour with the Tone It Up girls. So you can work out and hang out with all of us. Check out JillianMichaelsLive.com to find out if we're coming to a city near you. It's going to be a ton of fun. We've got food trucks, beauty bars, braiding bars, friends, food, fitness. Fun, fun, fun. JillianMichaelsLive.com.
You know what really, really grinds my gears?
Oh, God.
Yes, we're going to get it. Yes, I said grind my gears, but it really annoys me.
I feel like you and Janice have more in common than you guys care to admit.
I'm basically an old lady. I get it. It's fine.
Excuse me?
I wasn't calling you old.
If the shoe fits, man. It's...
I wasn't calling you old. For clarity, I was not calling you old. I was calling myself old. I am a 90-year-old at heart,
no,
and
she,
I know you are not 90.
She called you old.
Yeah. I never think of myself as old.
I don't think of
you
as old either.
Proud of my age.
I just think I'm
old. You're kind of crotchety. You know why? Because you've stopped grinding your gears.
You know what else I think
I'm
it
a
is
bit
you've stopped?
I do get more crotchety.
Janice, I'm going to ask you something personal here. I'm going to ask you something very personal, okay?
Go.
Yes.
Do you admit to masturbating?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And I admit to masturbating, and we all just assume Jake masturbates because he's a boy.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's because he's got hair in his hand.
It is.
There's that.
I did hear that. But it's completely okay, accepted, and like... glorified that men can masturbate.
Okay, hold the phone, sister. There's four people in the room.
Yeah, I feel like the HR for Empowered Media will get really antsy if I ask Jillian if she masturbates.
Well, I mean, everyone does.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
I just feel like there are
TMZ.
Yeah, oh,
Jillian Michaels, chronic masturbator.
We're the mafia. There's such assholes there. Go on.
But basically, it's okay for men to masturbate, but it's always been this huge taboo issue for women to masturbate. So I was reading an article about why more women don't either masturbate or admit to masturbating, and I can't tell you how many of them still feel that they feel dirty or that they're breaking some kind
really good
of oath
for your health
if they masturbate.
It's like good and for serotonin.
That's the thing. It's like
it is. I'm telling you.
We as women, we're treated like we are not supposed to masturbate. We're not supposed to
health
be in touch with ourselves, pun intended here, because it's breaking some kind of oath that we're supposed to have with
an
our
oath?
Future.
Oh,
our future
helps
partners.
You sleep. Lowers blood pressure and relaxing endorphins, eases menstrual cramps. Wait a minute. It says it reduces the risk of prostate cancer.
Because you're exercising your prostate.
Yeah, but we don't
women
have a
don't
prostate.
Have prostates.
Oh.
Oh, that's men's fitness.
But,
no,
but
don't have
here's
prostate.
The thing. It's
oh, here. I found it. Oh, God, of course, Cosmopolitan.
I would tend to...
It helps you love yourself more, Janice.
I will say one thing about
that,
Nicole.
It makes sex better with other people, it says.
That I don't think anybody makes us feel anymore. I think in the 50s and the 60s...
It's good for your vagina.
No. We are still raised with the idea that if we masturbate, we become slutty or oversexed. And if we're interested in sex at all, we become that girl.
Oh, it can strengthen your pelvic floor. Oh, I'm just giving takeaway here. Is anyone...
It
can help you
so
not pee yourself.
It is so good and so important for
good
you.
For your
because,
heart. Talked
because
about that
women
before.
Don't get to have the education
safe.
About their own sexual being that men
reduces
get because
stress.
It's expected for men to masturbate. No. And that really grinds my gears.
Yeah. Well, it's really good for you. Did you hear that list or no?
I guess I'm really surprised that we're still here.
I know, me too.
You're surprised that we're still here? The KKK is marching in freaking Charlottesville.
No,
you're surprised we're still here? I mean, look at the state of the world right now.
No, but just we've saying. Been through how many waves of feminist movement that, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of surprised this is still
an issue. I went to a show where Ali Wong was talking, and she's like, how girls have it really bad. Like in high school, we perform so many blowjobs, but we don't get oral sex ourselves until we're like in our late 20s or 30s.
Yeah, Nicole, I didn't.
You may have not performed blowjobs. I'm just talking in general. This is one of her stand-up bits. But basically, it just comes down to the fact that women are not allowed to be sexual beings.
No, we're sexual objects.
I went to a different high school.
Yeah, I did too.
It's right.
I'm not sure about that.
We're not allowed to embrace our own sexuality. We are objects. We are supposed to only... Right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We are not allowed to embrace our own sexuality.
The Bible doesn't mention lesbians. It only mentions gay guys. Did you know that? That's because women are not sexual beings into their own business.
Wow.
Because all gay dudes are going to hell. But you notice we're never mentioned in there. Did you know that?
Well, when they say shall not lie with another man, you could think of that as mankind or man.
No.
I don't know. I don't even know the quote, to be honest.
No, it's strictly against men, gay people. It doesn't bring up women, gay people, because that wasn't even like a thought.
Jake, when you grew up, did anybody ever talk to you about, like masturbating? Maybe not using those words.
No, not really.
Not really?
No, we just kind of. Honestly, the first memories of masturbation I had were either hiding in my bathroom or at a friend's house.
I just told Phoenix, I'm like, bud, Mr. Wiener's for it's totally fine, to enjoy Mr. Wiener, but you should do that. You need to do that in your room or in the bathroom. I'm like, it's private time, Mr. Wiener.
Yeah, no.
Private
no,
parts for private time.
Is he, it's none of my business.
Are you kidding me? I mean, sure. Yeah.
I mean, this is the stage where Freud would say he's into a masturbatory stage. It's exploring.
I mean, it's, yeah.
How old is he? Really? They do it that young.
Oh,
eh?
God, yeah.
Well, they're exploring their bodies at that point because they don't know what it is. It's not the same kind of masturbatory.
He went out to Heidi and he was like, Mom, look at how huge my wiener is. And Heidi and I were like, oh, God. Horrible. We're like, yeah, bud. Okay, let's get in our jammies. I'm like, it's just, yeah, it's normal. You try really hard not to make them feel ashamed of it. But you also got to be like, this is for private time. You know?
That's the thing I'm saying is men get to feel that it's normal.
I've told Lou the same thing.
Right, you have. You're very progressive. You are. You're a lesbian family with a black child and an adopted child. You're progressive, no matter how you look at it.
I got a Latino kid in there, too.
Exactly.
Wiener dogs.
But when you're growing up, it's Secret okay Agent for dogs. Men. Yes, they're hiding it just because, it's like they don't really know when it's okay. But women are not allowed to do it. It is dirty.
It's definitely more normalized. It's like, your dad could punk on you. Hey, get ready for school. Quit jacking off in there.
Exactly.
It was slang to even just say you're messing around. Jacking off.
And that's why to this day, still so many women either don't do it or don't admit to doing it because it's not ladylike. You'll be considered loose. You'll be considered one of those girls that aren't marrying potential.
God, that, I don't know. I just can't see.
That's
women
how I was
growing
raised, and I'm 29. I'm not that old. I feel old. I'm not that old, but that's how I was still raised. And yes, I'm from Middle America.
You were raised to believe that you were dirty and
if I touched myself.
And slutty.
If you touch yourself or you're over-sexualized.
And someone told you that.
Not in those words. The words are, you save yourself for marriage.
No, come on.
But saving yourself for marriage, they don't want you to sleep around.
Right.
That doesn't work, by the way. I read a whole study on how that, abstinence, sex ed.
$3 trillion or whatever,
$3 billion. Yeah, a disaster.
Yeah, it's an absolute, you need to have options. But it's just
I'm still kind of surprised that it's that.
It's the pleasures of the flesh. You're not allowed pleasures of the flesh. Especially, I was raised Catholic. That is something that is explicitly in there.
Oh, dear God. Now we're going down a bad.
But now we know.
Bad road. Bad road to go down. It's good for your health. I read all those things. Stop her.
I remember in high school, there actually was a girl where there was a rumor that she played with a Sharpie. And she was like totally picked on.
Why?
There was a girl in the neighboring school that played with a hot dog.
I can't remember why. Why was she picked on?
She got a frozen hot dog stuck up there and she was picked on.
Ow.
Stuck. Okay, that's different.
Oh my God.
Can we please end this segment? Please? Where's the music? Oh good, here it comes.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, Jillian, we need the love doctor. Daggy's waiting on the line, and she's got a bit of an issue she needs a little love talk to.
I'm ready. All right. Hello.
Jillian, I'm actually needing tough love from you here.
Oh, okay. How can I help?
Well, so I'm like 50 years old. My husband died about 5 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I met about a year later a then 22-year-old guy in my sword fighting lesson, and we just enjoyed, you know, hitting each other with swords and spending time together.
Okay.
I know it sounds funny.
No, it's awesome.
And yeah, he had some social issues, very shy guy, and I'm a very outgoing person, so... Well, to be frank, he was a virgin, and I did this mercy deed on him, you know.
Okay.
Never thinking that this would last, right?
Mm.
So, but it kind of lasts for now almost 3 years. But, I mean, I call it a non-relationship. And the bad thing about it is that even though we do really like each other, at some point in time, yeah, love, but it's like, we all know it's, you know, almost futureless, mostly because we're in a different life, right?
Yeah.
He wants to have a family and kids, and I'm like, well, been there, done that.
Yeah, I know.
But on the other hand, you know, I do get to meet other people, other guys in my age and group, but in the moment they are like getting more serious, I'm like, oh, no, I like not having somebody that, or I almost block them off.
So hold on a second. I mean, the question I think is not about him, obviously. The question is why you are not interested in somebody that could have more, you could have more intimacy with. That seems to be the question, yeah?
Yes, exactly.
Well, why do you think?
My gut feeling is almost, I mean, I was married for 22 years, right? My husband was really a wonderful guy. With every marriage, well, there was ups and downs,
sure.
But I was his focus. He had almost no friends. He came from a very difficult childhood, and I was it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't necessarily call him controlling, but it even came to the point that some friends wanted to take me out for my 40th birthday for a chocolate event, and it was very difficult for them to convince him that it's okay to let me go with them.
Okay.
And that sword fighting stuff, for example, I always wanted to do that. And when I brought that up to him, I was like, no, absolutely no. So, well, in the moment he passed away, guess what? I did that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm almost fearful of,
yeah,
okay, there might be another person that wants to put me in a golden cage.
Yeah.
Like I say, I know he loved me like no other. I'm not saying he didn't.
Yeah, but that's not the point.
Yeah.
So the you know, and it doesn't even matter. That what you have to really look at is, because ultimately the power is in your hands, right? So
yeah,
you can choose whether you will attract someone else like that again, whether you'll enable the dynamic again, you know, and whether you would choose to stay with someone like that again. So the power is really in your hands. But before you can safely, I would say, or before you can really feel confident in preventing that dynamic, you first have to understand why the dynamic. And I mean, do you have any idea why maybe you got into that? And because to a certain degree, I promise you, we enable it. It's inevitable. Like, it just is. We're enabling it, and they're playing it. It's a two-way street. So if you had to guess, like, why do you think you got into something like that? Or how did it evolve? Or why did it evolve? Why did you stay?
I think because I felt I had no choice. So and when I say no choice, I don't know if you can tell, I'm not from the United States. I'm actually from Germany.
Right, I can hear
and
the accent.
Yeah, I married him and moved to the United States. I had no green card. I was basically, you know, okay, I'm making that jump. Now I'm completely dependent on him.
Mm.
And I'm very difficult to fight with,
mm-hmm,
because I don't like conflict. So I think maybe because I was so dependent and fearful of fighting that in the moment something, and I know there were things that bothered me early.
But after, okay, so let's say after now,
yeah,
you've got you're a citizen. Right?
Yeah.
You're married 22
yeah
years. You're a citizen.
Yeah.
You
yeah
had to become a citizen somewhere in the first 5 to 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you stayed
yeah
another 10 plus years.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because, I mean, the marriage was okay. I had kids that, I mean, two girls.
Okay.
And, you know, I, almost because I felt sorry for him, I knew if I were to leave him, I was the second wife, he couldn't take it.
Okay. All right. So, all right, you feel, but you never tried to, did you ever try to change the dynamic with him? Did you ever say, no, sweetheart, I'm doing this?
Yeah, and it turned into a huge fight where he just went ballistic.
There's more to this, and it's, you know, I get it. Like, at first it's the green card, and then it's like, you know, the confrontation issues, and I can
yeah
see that you're like, oh, I don't want the drama, and then I can see how you're like, well, I have kids, and I can see all that while you like rationalized staying, but I'm still struggling with getting to like whatever it was that attracted you to this dynamic in the very first place. Like,
yeah,
do you perceive that as like, okay, that kind of jealousy makes me feel loved, or it makes me feel attractive despite its downsides?
No, I mean, that was actually the thing that I always disliked,
okay,
but there were many good things that overrode that, and I wasn't even dependent. I mean, at some point in time, he actually worked for me, so it's not that I was financially or any way dependent on him. I was actually the more successful person in the relationship, which...
Okay, so
sure
wait a minute. That says something. Okay,
okay,
so... So you felt responsible for him?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Who else Like, historically speaking, did you feel like you were responsible for them?
My kids.
Okay, go and keep going. Did you have any sort of dynamic where you were like the parentified child?
No, I'm the younger of two daughters, so my sister, she was more responsible for me in many ways because I always got myself in trouble with doing stupid stuff, and when I mean stupid stuff is I ride my bicycle too fast, fall down, break my nose, and she's there to pick me up.
Okay, but what about parents?
No, they are very, very loving. I mean, whereas my mom, she saw that early on, and she kept telling me, you need to tell him no, you need to tell him no. And the one time when I said, okay, Mom, you're here, you're visiting, I'm going to tell him no, and she saw what happened, like, oh, my God. And then we both went into, we don't want the kids to see him go crazy like that. And when I mean crazy, he didn't get physically crazy, but he just yelled from the top of his lungs.
Yeah, but you didn't leave him.
No.
And that's the thing. It's like, for some reason, you felt responsible for him. And I'm trying to, you must have.
Because I was the only person he had.
Yeah, but you know, he must have felt this way somewhere before. There's got to be something where you were like, I can save him, I can fix him, I can take care of him.
Okay. So before him, other than, you know, little on and off relationships, I had when I was 14, I met my then first boyfriend, and I was with him until he was 18, and yes, now that you say it, I always felt responsible for him, even to the point when I broke up, his mom called me and said, you gotta go back to him. After you broke up with him, he's now getting into drugs and alcohol, and you
so
need
see,
to come back.
This is definitely a pattern you're getting into. So you're attracting these, like, wounded birds that are, like, extremely needy and controlling because they're so insecure. And the question is why. Like, I wonder, like, are you doing it because it makes you feel safer because they're so needy? Like, that could be a possibility. That you're like, well, they'll never leave me because they're so needy. Or I'm in control, you know, theoretically, emotionally, you're in control. So you're not vulnerable. Like, I'm wondering if you're trying to stave off, like, a fear of... I see a lot of women end up with men because they know these men can't actually hurt them, like leave them, abandon them, break their hearts. And this guy sounds like he would never do that.
No.
So, I mean, and it sounds like the guy before that, it's like same thing. You were ultimately in the driver's seat. And I'm wondering if maybe that's the bigger fear, is that it feels better to you, and then you're dating a young kid, and you are theoretically in the driver's seat there.
Of course, you really are. Don't ask me how many things I helped him with.
Right,
like,
but it's the same story. So it, you know, and the men that you're avoiding are the ones, it sounds like, that are more your equals.
Yeah, and
so then
I don't know. Maybe it makes me feel worthy because I'm helping, or they come to me for help.
Right. Okay. So it's making you feel safer, more powerful. It's validating your feelings of you're exactly right, like worth and value to be the one that like takes care of things, is in control of things. But if you were to date somebody who's more your age or more an equal period, now you're not in that power position. And
which is completely opposite to my work life, because in my work life, I mean, a guy wants to partner with me on a business, sword fighting, go figure,
right.
because he owns the business and he sees me as a equal partner, powerful and able to run a business with him.
Sure.
But so I'm all for that, but yeah. On my personal level, I'm completely different.
Yeah, buddy. I don't think you're afraid of getting into the same scenario. I think you're afraid of the scenario you've always been afraid of. And that's dating somebody who doesn't need you to take their virginity or to support them financially or to be their everything. And I think that somebody must have devastated you at some point or just shattered you, hurt you so deeply, or abandoned you, or done something that you were just like, I'm not going to feel this again. And have vowed to be in the driver's seat, whether it's the 14-year-old boyfriend, the husband of 22 years, or the 22-year-old kid. And I think in order to really get to the bottom of that, you've got to look at why you're so terrified of being hurt, and you know where that's coming from, and gradually appreciate that, like, you've probably survived the worst thing that's ever happened to you already.
Yeah.
My guess is that somewhere in your life, someone hurt you really badly, and you were like, I am never going to feel this again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's inevitable. It just is if you're truly living, right, and you're truly putting yourself out there. But, you know, you're not the only woman I know who's done this. There are a lot of women I know who do this. And, you know, it's very common. But I think that it...
Okay.
To have true, right, to have that true intimacy, it's like you got to pay the ultimate price of true vulnerability. And you can only know as much love as you can know vulnerability, as much affluence as you can know vulnerability, same thing. And it's always a double-edged sword, right? It's like the most awesome, amazing things in life are always the things that can cut you the deepest. But if you're going to take, you know, the good, it comes with bad, and that's life. And I promise you, you're strong enough to tolerate that, even though right now it doesn't feel like you are. You are. You are.
Yeah. And oh, yeah.
All right, buddy.
Thank you, Daggy.
Thank you so much,
right,
both of you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Man, is someone as broken as you are?
Don't forget to email us your questions. We want to talk to you at jillianpodcast@gmail.com.
Guidelines.
Guidelines.
Yes.
Three sentences.
Or less.
Or less.
And a phone number.
And a phone number.
Yeah. All right.
Bye-bye.